Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Today's going to be a little different. About 20 minutes before first service, I felt the Spirit of God come upon me so strong that it has been years that I have been overwhelmed by His presence. And today, what I'm going to share with you, I believe, is a word from the Holy Spirit. And I just want to pray before I preach. I want to talk to God about it because I want you to hear from Him, not me, today. Father, thank you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the impartation of your word, that it came and it lived, died on a cross and was resurrected again, and this word is alive today. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, refresh and renew your people through your word today. Challenge us through your word today. Lead us closer to you today through your word. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise because you're due. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Today, we'll go right into it. Just want to just say how much I am grateful for the word of God, how much I am grateful that I think it's 35 people are getting baptized today. How grateful I am that the Spirit of the living God is pouring Himself out to reveal Himself to people who are imperfect, who need a perfect God. Can I tell you, He's worthy of your praise today? What a wonderful time we had in worship. Praise and worship team, thank you. I mean, wow, such a wonderful time in His presence. Oh, man. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to continue this series called At War. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Today, I want to talk to you about the breastplate of righteousness. If you were to go and find a time machine and it was to take you back to the time when the Roman Empire was ruling and controlling things, you would see that when they would go into battle, one of the first things they would adorn themselves with is a breastplate. It was a piece of steel that they would shape out to fit the chest of the warrior, and they would strap it on so that way the most vital of organs, the heart, was protected. It was impenetrable to sword attacks. It was impenetrable to arrows, even to blunt force. It would distribute the pressure from that blow across the whole torso, not just directly into the sternum. And so this was a very effective piece of kit for the soldier. And can I tell you, you and I today have something even more effective that we can wear as a breastplate. It is righteousness. Today I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and I want to challenge you with God's word. There are really two types of righteousness we're going to talk about today, two types of righteousness. Just for a quick moment, I want to talk to you about positional righteousness. Positional righteousness is the biblical fact that upon belief and confession, you're reconciled and in good standing with God. That's positional righteousness. That means you're in good standing with God, right? The Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, salvation happens, okay? It's yours, right? The next thing I want to talk to you about, though, is something that, honestly, most churches don't talk about anymore, and it's righteous living. We want to hide behind positional righteousness and do what we want to do, but the truth is positional righteousness does not relieve me from the responsibility to do what the Bible's called me to do and live how it calls me to live. I know that's not popular, but you came to a church that's, pastor, don't care about being popular. I care about you getting to heaven and being as effective for the kingdom of heaven as possible. So today, we're going to focus on this righteous living. Now, if you don't have positional righteousness, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get saved at the end of the service. You can get right with Jesus. Matter of fact, you don't even need me to do that. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's between you and God. You can settle up right now while I'm preaching. But today I want to talk to you about this righteous living thing because the world is looking for a church that is separated. If there is nothing different between us and them, they don't know where to go when hell breaks loose in their life. So we have to live differently. Can I tell you, just because you have received a powerful grace does not give you the ability to wallow and trash it. The value the grace God gave you. Paul said it like this when he wrote in 2 Timothy, he said to pursue righteousness. I love the word pursue. Didn't say obtain. Aren't you glad he didn't say obtain it? Matter of fact, the scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one. But we are to pursue it as if it is something to be obtained. Can I tell you, there will be a day that you will be righteous, but it won't be on this side of eternity. Doesn't mean that there's not power in the pursuit of righteousness. To put it in layman's terms today, did you know that you never have to worry about getting a DUI if you don't drink and drive? Am I lying? How about this? If you honor the confines of marital relations and you stay in the confines of that covenant, you don't have to worry about STDs. Hello? I mean, there's positional righteousness, which God, thank you, my eternity is secure, but there's still consequences to foolishness. See, a lot of times we want to stand in this relational righteousness that I'm in right standing with God, but then when I get over to practical righteousness and just common sense, doing what the Bible says so I get what the Bible says I can get, nobody wants to play anymore. What I'm telling you is time for the church to be the church. Today, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like being that clown I normally am. I don't feel like coming up here and cutting jokes. I don't feel like coming up here because this past week I have dealt with several families who continue to struggle with sin that is besetting them and causing them destruction over and over and over and over, all because somebody will not adhere to the wisdom of God's word. And I'm just wore out with it. So today I'm going to come to you about as raw as I ever have. Because I think you can handle it. Whether or not you can, I'm going to teach it anyway. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45 says this: no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, I'm gonna head to the deeper end of the pool, so stay with me. We're gonna talk about some things I think you're ready for. We're going like a 7 out of 10 in depth here. In the Bible, when it talks about the heart, it is not talking about a muscle that pumps blood. The Hebrew word for heart is lev, L-E-V, L-E-V. And I've got some notes here that you can write down, Gabe, if you put them up there. It says this: it's the mind, soul, spirit, one's entire emotional nature and understanding, the lev, L-E-V, the Hebrew term meaning heart. So when you see that from the lev, the heart speaks, it means from your emotional nature and your understanding. Now here's what's interesting, is that the breastplate of righteousness does not allow the attacks of the enemy to penetrate the heart, but then later protects you from regurgitating the issues the enemy means for you to regurgitate. Oh man, y'all ain't ready today. Somebody should eat breakfast. Listen, there's another word I want to show you today. It's called the Davar, the D-A-V-A-R. The D-A-V-A-R. It literally means word. It's used over 1,400 times in the King James Version, the D-A-V-A-R, the Devar. It is the same word, and this is interesting, that the Hebrew people, when they were writing, would use the same word for word, commandment, or physical existence or thing. Devar. Now, when it talks about the word 1,400 times over, I think it's like 1,450 something times, that it says in the King James Version, the root word is devar, D-A-V-A-R. So can I tell you, if it uses it over 1,400 times, we better pay attention to it. So when you look at the terminology, devar, it means word or thing. Word or thing. If you go to the root word of thing, it means thing that exists. Now watch this. The Bible says that from the lathe comes the devar. Say it again over here. From the lathe comes the devar. The word that is a living thing. Let me go back a little further to get you some understanding. In Genesis, the Bible says that God gave dominion to man. Then we yielded dominion to the devil because we chose his way over God's way. He sent Jesus to the cross, regaining dominion for mankind. You and I step back into dominion when we step into the cross. So now, dominion's ours again. Now watch this. And again, I know we're going to the deeper end of the pool. Stay with me, kids. Stay with me. We'll be back in the kiddie pool in a minute. God has always partnered man. God has always partnered with man. That's why when they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why did he say that? Because God just can't leave heaven and come here on earth and do what he wants to do. Why? Because he gave you dominion. Now watch this. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard the lathe, because out of it flows devar. Let me put it in different terms. Little children, protect what goes in, so that way you can be very careful about what comes out. See, humans are a lot like toothpaste. You put pressure on them, whatever's in there is coming out. Right? Here's another tricky thing. Once it comes out, you can't get it back in, can you? You can't get it back in. Trust me, I know that. There's been several times I stuck my foot all the way down my throat. You hear me? Usually in my marriage, I'm usually saying something wrong, you know. Don't ask your wife what time dinner's going to be ready. That's a free one, no charge. Now listen, the devar, the living thing. My Bible tells me that I can speak things that aren't as though they were, and they shall. Oh, now we're getting close to it. Stay with me. My heart is the funnel that I receive earthly stimuli from. And if I don't have the breastplate of righteousness, meaning I'm filtering what is right and what is not right, what is of God and what is of this world, if I'm not carefully protecting what I let in, then I can be guilty of using the dominion that God gave me to speak something into existence that he never meant to be in existence. We wonder why our world is in chaos. Because the Christians have left the breastplate at home. Good preaching. I don't care who you are. Listen, church, listen. I know it's nice to do it our way. But it's not the Christian way. When you take on the debit Christian, when you put that title on your head, the world's watching you. They will not see perfection, but they certainly better see pursuit. This past week, I have, can I just be Josh, not Pastor Josh for a minute? Is that okay? This past week, I have helped some people navigate some things that were completely unnecessary because they left their breastplate at home. They decided to do it their way instead of God's way. And when there came a cost to it, now they don't want to play anymore. The problem is there is a cost to foolishness. Now, I want to be very clear. You will always hear grace preached at Hope City. We preach grace. We preach relational righteousness. You are saved, right? I also tell you this. There are consequences to earthly actions. And see, all too often what we have is we've got people who say, well, I'm saved so I can X, Y, and Z, and God will protect me from X, Y, and Z. No, God is not to be mocked. Not a man that he should lie. He said, as a man soweth, my God. So are we strapping this thing up called righteousness. And relational righteousness, I can't take on and off. So when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, he had to be talking about righteous living. Because you can take that on and take that off and walk around without it if you so choose to roll the dice. You can act up, be ignorant, do all the things you want to do. There is a cost to it. And I guess what I'm worn out dealing with sometimes, I tell you, dealing with folks is messy. Dealing with myself is messy. Sometimes people's worse than messy. I'll be honest with you. It's frustrating. When you have told someone over and over and over again, go to the word. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You need to stop this action because it's going to lead to this. If you don't stop doing this, it's going to lead to this. If you don't stop doing this, and not just one time, not just two times, I'm talking about half a dozen times, a dozen times, they keep doing the same thing. And I ain't talking about accidentally. I'm talking about choosing, pursuing the flesh instead of pursuing righteousness. And they put it in the ditch. Then they want to come to the church. You're always welcome here. You're always welcome here. Let me be very clear with you. Your actions have consequences. You walk out of here. And you go steal something at the grocery store. You're going to come in here next Sunday, I'm going to say, God loves you. You still caught a case. Right. Am I lying? You in that same grocery store, somebody bother you because they got more than 10 items in the express lane. Anybody else struggle? Come on. Am I alone in my struggle? Have you ever counted somebody's buggy? Come on, somebody. Yes. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's 12. That's 12. You got to go. Huh? Then they're going to talk about it's two orders. It's two orders of sick. No, it's not. Move. You need to get out of here. You get frustrated with somebody and you swing on somebody. You're going to come in here the next week. If somebody got you some bail money, you coming in here the next week. And I'm going to tell you, God loves you. But you're still going to stand before a judge. Now, let's talk about this breastplate of righteousness. I love Paul's wisdom to talk about it as a breastplate that protects us from the arrows of the enemy. But here's the thing. It's called the breastplate, not the backplate. If you turn your back to righteous living, baby, you're exposed. Now, hang on. Let's keep going. Let's just dig into this a little bit further. Nora, my seven-year-old, she is something. The other day she came home and she goes, "It's been a hard day, Dad." She's in first grade. How hard can it be? Of course, I didn't say that. I said, "Sweetheart, let's talk about it. Tell Daddy what happened." She goes, "Just hard. We couldn't go outside for recess. It was just hard." And her teacher's in here, so I got to be careful. She says, "Dad," she goes, "you ever have hard days?" I said, "Sure, sweetheart, I have hard days. Everybody has hard days." She goes, "You know what we need?" And I was thinking, maybe some scripture, some prayer. She goes, "Some cookies. We need some cookies." And I said, "Amen. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I think it's in the scripture somewhere. I'm not sure, but we'll go with it. We'll go with it." And so now watch this. She says, "Dad, you just stay here. I'll go get the cookie." I said, "Praise God." I put my feet up. Come on, and get a cookie. Okay. I like the way she's going with this. Okay. Now let me explain to you what I'm hearing. I hear the little step stool open up in the pantry. And then now they got everything Ziploc. The top of it's sticky. And it never quite lays flat. Anybody? Okay. So she peels back that layer and I hear one handful, two handfuls, three handfuls in a bowl. Big bowl. Then I hear the thing lay back down. She pulls another time for cookie out and she, "Pastor Josh got some deep wealth when it comes to cookies." So anyway, she peeled back the next layer and I hear one handful, two handfuls, three handfuls, and she closes it, puts it back. She comes in the living room with 15 cookies. And she, listen to the first thing she says, she walks up, she goes, "Did I hear the garage? Is mom home?" I said, "No, mom ain't home." She goes, "Good, you want some milk?" I said, "Yeah, get some milk. Wendy is the sheriff in our house. And so Nora has this, I mean, it's like a giant, like a punch bowl of cookies, right? And she comes up, she sits on the couch, and she leans back in the corner with a glass of milk. She puts her feet up. I mean, living the good life. And I look over, and I said, "Nora, a lot of cookies." She goes, "Well, you can have a few." I said, "I'm sure I can." I said, "Thank you. I bought them. Thank you so much." And I said, "How many should Daddy have?" She goes, "Get you one or two." Okay, I see where she's going now. She wants all the cookies for herself, right? So I told her, I said, "I love your heart. I said, I love that you had a bad day and these cookies are going to fix it." I said, "But sweetheart, let me be honest with you. If you eat all those cookies, you're going to be sick." She said, "Well," she goes, "how many do you think I should have?" I said, "Well, how about this? I said, how about you grab your three or four of them, put the rest of them up, and Daddy will eat them later," right? No, that's not what I said. Here's what I said. I said, "Let's put some of them back, and after dinner we'll have maybe a couple more, and then we'll save the rest for tomorrow and the next day. We'll spread them out." I said, "Because listen, I know it looks good to you. But it's going to hurt you. And Daddy loves you enough to tell you, even if you think it's good for you, leave it alone. Leave it alone." So she put some of the cookies back. And then later on that evening, she comes to him and she goes, "When's mom coming home?" I said, "I don't know. What's wrong?" She goes, "I'm sick." "How many cookies you eat? Tell the truth." She went, "8. Okay. I said, "Remember when Daddy told you eat two or three?" "Uh-huh." I said, "Next time you eat two or three?" "I promise, yes." She said, "What do I do for now?" I said, "Now, you just got to deal with it. Drink you some water, sit down. In time, you'll have an opportunity to do it right next time. But for now, you got to pay the price." It doesn't mean my love for her changed. It doesn't mean that I don't desire to take that from her. But I, in my power, don't have the ability to stop what's already been placed in action. Because I gave her access to the cookie. That's called dominion. With your dominion, if you step in the ditch, you got to deal with what's in the ditch. Now, eternity-wise, you got a new name written down in glory. Praise God. Right? Boy, we should sing a song and turn up. You remember that song? I've got a new name written down in glory. Anybody? Forget y'all, man. Y'all don't know. Three people like, I know that song. They probably lying too. That's okay. Listen. All right. Now watch this. Watch. You can choose to do it according to the world, but then you will get the fruit according to the seeds you sow. Why is it that the church especially is shocked? We do it our way. And then we get the fruit of our own actions. Completely shocked. Pastor, you ain't gonna believe what's going on in my life. My world's falling apart. Connection card, connection card, connection card. Right. You sow, you reap. I've gotten to a place. I think the reason why the Holy Spirit visited me this morning is for like a refreshing in my spirit. Because I'll be honest with you, I was feeling weary. Because you care for people so often and so much, and you try to lead them back to the truth of God's word so many times that when you see them continually fall into the trap that they even saw, and they chose to put their foot in it. Paul said it like this, said it's the snares that so easily, the sins that so easily beset us. So easily. That we ain't got to work hard. It's easy. Choosing to do the wrong thing. Pursuing the things of the world. So, here's how we change. Put on righteousness. Every day, get up and choose to do it God's way. Every day, get up. Say, God, I know be tempted. God, I know I may fail. It will not be at the lack of an attempt. I'm going to pursue righteousness. And in my studying this week, I found these amazing verses that lead us to this incredible understanding. It goes down like this. It says, Psalms 51:10, it says, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. When's the last time you prayed, God, renew in me a pure heart? I want to do it your way. Forget my way. I've done it my way. It yields nothing. But when you do it God's way, I also found this. I was reading, I often will study different translations. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, we read earlier, when you look at it in the God's Word translation, which is really interesting, this is what it says. It says, so then, take your stand. Fasten truth around your waist like a belt and put on God's approval as your breastplate. Can I tell you, the final outcome of our actions is not always approved by God. But the pursuit should be. We should have an approved pursuit every day. You're going to mess up every day. Congratulations. But you can do that while pursuing righteousness. You can do that while trying to do it God's way. Can I tell you? God, His ways are higher than our way. Thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If we do it His way, it just comes with better benefits than doing it our way. And I guess I'm weary because I'm tired of watching good people deal with really bad consequences because of non-approved action. I had a situation that honestly was so challenging because it was dealing with a person's identity. Can I tell you, this woke culture cares nothing about people. Do you hear me? I said this woke culture at the root of it cares nothing about people. All it is some like social posturing at the sake of don't attack me. I think like everybody else. But at the end of it, there's no care for people. See, if you really care for people, you'll tell them what benefits them. And there are times where telling the truth and reminding people to stop doing it their way just gets heavy. Those of you who have pastored, you know there's a weight. And when you have to have these conversations, it's not easy, it's not fun, but it's absolutely necessary. So we have these conversations to remind people that His ways are better than your ways. It's not His best plan for your life for you to walk around in a misunderstood identity. Hello? And you see the struggle lead to the same destruction over and over and over again, not in a stranger's world, not in a different person's world, in their very own world. And they keep just running back to it with open arms like it's the God that died on the cross for them. There's just times I'm just like, Lord, like when can I just... Is there ever a time that I can just... And God whispers, Josh, aren't you glad I didn't? All right, Dad, I'll do it your way. I just got to be honest with you. I'm getting tired. Tired of seeing bad things happen to good people because of ridiculous decisions. And what happened this morning when I just felt the presence of God so strong. I mean, 20 minutes before service started, I just felt this. I'm talking about have you ever felt the presence of God so strong, your insides shake? That happened right before I came out to preach first service. And I'll be honest, I'm going to use this service on the recording this week. I came out hot as a pistol in first service. I was going off on people. I ain't going to lie to you. Go and delete first service. I'll ask forgiveness about it later on. I'll get some freedom in it. But you have positional righteousness in a God that has loved you so much, He sent His Son to die on a cross. And it is so easy to take our eyes off of that price, off of that sacrifice, and to say, thanks for that. But I'm going to sample this instead. And the whole time, all the enemy does is he lures you in with something that looks appealing. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the end thereof leads to destruction. And I guess what I'm saying is I understand the pleasure of sin. Trust me, I got flesh too. Hello. But I've just seen so much destruction. I'm just saying, wake up, church. Wake up, church. Heaven is too close. Hell is too hot. There are people who don't know Him that might come to know Him by watching your walk. And just because your ticket is punched, what audacity! Well, I'm good. So what do I worry about this thing called a witness for anymore? better wake up. Better wake up. Go a step further. Your families are watching. Wake up. Wake up. The ones that he's entrusted to you are watching. Wake up. I promise. Come back next week. I'll be the old clown again. I promise. But for today, I'm just, I'll be honest, man. It did me good to hear the 35 people because I'd forgotten. So my wife, thank God for her, got up and told me that 35 people, she told all of us, I was sitting right there in front of Kenny. And when I was reminded that 35 people were going to be baptized, I said, God, thank you that we're making some ground. Thank you that people are getting saved. Thank you. Because I was so just like, I think the word is weary. Because you want the best for people. You want them to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, not just the afterlife. And while the afterlife, God has gone before us and has prepared a place for us. Can I tell you, you can be busy on this side experiencing his goodness by putting on the... Just pursue it. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful all the time, but dadgum, just make a pursuit of it. Just try to do it his way. Can I tell you, when we pursue righteousness and we fall short, that's where grace kicks in. But if you never even get in the race of pursuing it, nah, that's pride. You need to leave that alone. So I'm going to finish like this. You have struggled with consciously talking intentional sin. I'm talking about you know it's wrong and you keep fiddling with it. You keep messing with it. You keep going back to that same thing over and over and over again. I'm going to pray for you today. Here's what I'm going to pray. For strength. I'm going to pray for wisdom that you will understand the beauty of doing it God's way. Because see, when you see the beauty of a righteous life, can I tell you the best part? I don't claim to have obtained it, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. Of going to bed every night and realizing there ain't nothing can be pulled out of a dark corner on you. There ain't nothing that somebody can show up and search a history on a laptop. Come on, somebody. There ain't some woman waiting to call Wendy talking about, you know where your husband was? It's a breastplate. My heart is safe. The enemy can, all he wants, it just bounces off. The enemy can come at me, it just bounces off. I'm good. This righteousness preserves us and it protects us. But you have to pursue it, put it on. Well, I hope this made sense. So if you would, I'm fixing to wrap this thing up. If you would, just close your eyes. I just want to pray for some folks. If you're hearing, you say, Josh, I ain't going to take much time with this. You say, Josh, I just, the same thing over and over keeps tripping me up. Same thing, just over and over, man. I even might want to do right, but I can't seem to do right. You might even be here and you say, I'll be honest, I ain't even tried to do right. But I'm ready. I want to do it right. I want to walk away from these things that are constantly causing turmoil and chaos in my life. That's you. I ain't going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to pray for you. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, now I made a promise at the beginning. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know how wonderful he is, the Bible says he's the wonderful counselor. He always has an open ear for his children. That he's the lily of the valley, even in the lowest of days, is a beauty to him. It also says that he's a soon coming king. You're here and you don't know him, but you want to know him. I want to pray for you today. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody at all? I won't take much time. Praise God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for the breastplate of righteousness. I want to thank you first for that relational righteousness. That right standing with you, that approval that you've given me. Thank you for that. And I want to talk about this other thing, this life of righteousness, this living righteousness, this righteous living. I want to talk about that. Lord, there are people here who desire to do it your way, but they're weak. They desire to do it your way, but sin's pleasurable. Lord, here's my prayer. Strengthen your children. Renew in them a contrite spirit that reminds them that what they're doing is not righteous, and that there's a better way, that you have a way that's better than our way. We choose your way, God. If we do it our way, we get what we get. If we do it your way, we get what you give. So give them strength. Give them wisdom to go to your word and figure out what righteousness is in that particular situation. Thank you, Lord. You wrote it all down. We ain't got to pick the phone up. We just open the book. But help us. But Lord, that we won't just have righteousness in eternity, but we can have the benefit of right living now. Bless your people. Forgive us for the times that we have intentionally failed you. Renew in us a pure heart, clean heart. Heart that desires to do it your way. Father, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. On the contrary, it means we're chasing after the God that's perfect. We're going to pursue you in your holiness. And I just thank you, Lord. You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Fill this church with righteousness. Fill our hearts with righteousness. The desire to do it according to your word. And I'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Stand to your feet. One last invitation. Even if you don't have anybody being baptized, you can come hang out with us. It starts at 4:00 at Beasley Park down on Okaloosa Island. Looks like the weather's going to hold off. I'll be honest with you. If it ain't lightning, we're dunking. That's the way that's going to work. There's a better term probably than dunking. I just thought about donuts. Isn't that bad? Isn't that bad? Just talked about cookies. Now I'm thinking. But I also want to say this. If you feel a stirring to be baptized, just come. Just come. If you know anybody that wants to be baptized, bring them. We've got systems and everything in place, but can I tell you, your desire to be baptized is bigger than our systems. You ain't got to sign up. Just show up. Right? God loves you. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, you hear this. You are loved well by the King of all glory. He loves you. I'm grateful you came today. Thanks for letting me just kind of get this off my chest, and I hope it's sharpened us a little bit. Let's pray. Father, bless us and keep us. Be gracious to us and show us your favor. Make your face shine upon us and give us peace both now and forevermore. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Help us to walk in the pursuit of righteousness. We'll be awfully grateful. Bring us back next week with more wisdom, more of your word, locked away in our hearts. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.